Good afternoon, podcast audience, Local 304, and particularly my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Yes, this morning I spent my podcast time campaigning. Now I want to get back to somewhat of a lecture or a conversation on Article 11. It is the holiday season, but as I've told so many members, that does not matter to me when it comes to contract compliance. Today, I want to just talk a little bit about Article 11.1, 11.2, and then I'm going to skip right down to 11.6 when we address a holiday schedule. So again, I'm taking snippets of Article 11 just to put together a teaching moment. This is not the entire Article 11, because if I was to attempt to address the whole Article 11, I'd have to start off with the recent arbitration dealing with holidays that MHAs that were in the service during a specific period of time are eligible to back pay. I'm not going to touch that today. I'm simply going to touch 11.1, 11.2, and 11.6. Now, let me say to you, once I am elected your local president, this type of teaching will now become official because I will submit a podcast to the national, because at that point, I would like to think we're going to have a version of a mail handler podcast that is in line with the national agenda and our local agenda. But we're not there yet, but I'm giving you an example of what it will sound like, or what I plan on it sounding like. Here we go. Hey, good morning, folks. This is Kenny Hodge, your local president out of local National Postal Mail Handlers Union 304. And this morning, we're going to have a conversation about Article 11. Let's start off with Article 11.1. And just so you know, I'm going to do a lot of sidebarring, but I'm going to actually read from our contract. Article 11.1, holidays observed. The following 10 days shall be considered holidays for full-time and part-time regular scheduled employees. Here and after, referred to in this article as employees. So we understand that when this article was written, it was for the full-time, part-time. And those holidays are New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Day, Washington's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Now, since then, the following six will be considered holidays for MHAs. And that will be New Year's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. As I said, I'm not going to touch the current arbitration decision dealing with that issues for MHAs. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to move right along to Article 11.2, eligibility. Now, some people think I have to be working 5 days or 4 days after. Article 11.2 says eligibility. To be eligible for holiday pay, an employee must be in a pay status the last hour of the employee's scheduled workday prior to or the first hour of the employee's scheduled workday after the holiday. Point blank and simple, folks. I don't know where a lot of people get that. You've got to be in a pay status 3 days before or 4 days before to be eligible for holiday pay. It is only required that you are in a pay status the last hour of your scheduled day before the holiday or the first hour after the holiday. Are we good? Now, before we go right to 11.6, I want you to understand that holiday pay is pretty much the same for every holiday, with the exception of Christmas. I'm going to read you a quick subparagraph from 11.4b, and we're not going to stay there, but I just want you to understand, an employee required to work on Christmas shall be paid 1.5 times the base hourly straight time rate for each hour worked. In addition, employees who work their holiday may, at their option, elect to have the annual leave balance credited up to 8 hours of annual leave or receive holiday pay to which the employee is entitled, as above described in a prior section. So Christmas is one of the holidays where most of the time, just on a money basis, it's not an issue because everyone wants to work Christmas. Not everyone, but Christmas is a holiday you don't mind working because you're getting time and a half as opposed to getting straight holiday pay hours. Does that make sense to folks? And I'm not trying to confuse you, but I do encourage you to pull out 11:5 and read for understanding. Let's go right to 11:6. And this is where the employer will determine the number of categories of employees needed for holiday work, and a schedule shall be posted as of 12 noon on the Tuesday preceding the service week in which the holiday falls. As many full-time and part-time regular scheduled employees as can be spared will be excused from duty on a holiday or day designated as their holiday. Now, again, that leaves that totally up to management, which I don't quite grasp, but let's go through the verbiage here. The Tuesday preceding the holiday, most times that is the week, the prior Tuesday of the week before the holiday. Now, what happens is, I'm going to make this specific right now, to the Columbus, Ohio branch, and then I'm going to come back to the national level, or the local level, I'm sorry. In the Columbus, Ohio LMOU, there's a section in there, it's section T, and it's paragraph 5, or section 5, and it reads as follows. Again, only Columbus, Ohio has this that I'm aware of. 14 days prior to the holiday posting date, there will be a meeting on each tour between the union and management to discuss holiday needs. As many employees as can be spared will be excused from work on their holidays. Now, when we start talking about that particular item in our local, our LMOU, I want you to understand the importance of that. Right now, we have a holiday schedule that's going to be pending for Christmas. And if we understand that holiday schedule is going to be pending for Christmas, Christmas being the 25th, which is on a Wednesday. So as per our national agreement, the holiday schedule must be posted the Tuesday in the preceding week, which now means your Christmas holiday schedule should be posted at week on the 17th, no later than. And if we now go back to our LMOU that states, paragraph 5, item T, that states 14 days prior to the posting, there should be a meeting with management and the union to discuss holiday needs. That brings us to the third, folks. Now, don't be blown away because I track these dates, because I know the local president has spent a lot of time convincing you that this is something I can't do. But trust and believe me, if we go back to Columbus, Ohio, everywhere else in the local, because I'm not aware of your LMOUs, that holiday schedule should be posted by the 17th. In Columbus, Ohio, the holiday schedule should be posted by the 17th, but by the 3rd of December, there should be a meeting on all tours to discuss your holiday schedule. Now, I got to tell you, tomorrow is the 3rd, and I'm willing to bet $1,000 to a donut that there are no meetings set up. Now, again, this is where I say I question the integrity of your current local president, because since you had the unprofessional tactic to take me out of office or suspend my duties, that makes you the branch president. I know you tried to make a position called acting president, but I checked through the bylaws and the Constitution. I don't see any such position. And I also checked through the minutes, and I don't see where any such position was ever created. So again, when you question my contract knowledge, members in Local 304, I want to assure you that I am on point. So let's get back to the holiday schedule. So since you have no branch president in Columbus, Ohio, that by forfeit really makes your local president your branch president. Is he coming down to have a holiday schedule with a conversation with management tomorrow? And let me tell you about the holiday schedule conversation. Now, I know a lot of stewards go in there and they sit down and management tell them what they're going to do, and then they try to have a clever retort with what you did last holiday. But let me tell you something. If you've never made a holiday schedule, you're lacking something when it comes to critiquing a holiday schedule. If you don't understand the operations inside your plant from a data-driven perspective, not what you think is going to happen, but what historical data will show is going to happen, see, then you're not as strong when it comes to negotiating holiday schedules. If you don't understand that, okay, if you don't understand 11.6b, which states employees shall be selected to work on a holiday schedule within each category in the following order. Here's the pecking order of how you sit down and you run down a holiday schedule with management. Casuals, even if overtime is required. So already, you got to keep in mind, depending on the day of the holiday, the contract says casuals, even if overtime is required, which means if that holiday is on Saturday, casual can work 24 hours, and they're still not getting overtime because they don't get overtime till over 40. But I said it jovially so that we can at least arrive at a casual should be scheduled for 12 hours. That should not be questioned. Now we go right after. So again, when you're putting together your holiday schedule, the first thing you do is schedule. Make sure all your casuals are scheduled for 12 hours. And if you haven't started there, then everything else you do is built on sand and it's going to sink. After we have our casual schedule, then we have all available and qualified part-time flexible employees, even if overtime is required. We're in the plant, we don't have part-time flexibles. And let me tell you something. Don't allow yourself to think or get into the mindset that when your contract says part-time flexibles, that part-time flexibles and MHAs, don't allow yourself to believe that that language is interchangeable. Because in our contract, if it doesn't specifically say MHAs, it is not applicable to an MHA. Okay, now, so we have casuals, we have part-time flexibles. Now we have full and part-time regular employees in order of seniority who have volunteered to work on the holiday or the day designated as their holiday when such day is part of their regular schedule work schedule. These employees will be paid at the applicable straight time rate. Then we move into the MHAs. So again, we have casuals, we have part-time flex, then we have all volunteers. Now we schedule MHAs, and MHAs are as specified below in subsection D. And if you go down to D, it will tell you MHAs will be scheduled for work on holiday or designated holiday after all full-time or part-time volunteers are scheduled to work on their holiday or designated holiday. They will be scheduled to the extent possible. Now, when we say to the extent possible, what does that mean? And when I say to the extent possible, prior to any full-time volunteer or non-volunteer being scheduled to work on a non-scheduled day, or any full-time non-volunteer being required to work their holiday or designated holiday, if the parties have locally negotiated a pecking order that would schedule full-time volunteers on a non-scheduled day, the local memorandum of understanding will apply. Well, most of you don't have that in your LMOU. Because our LMOUs are so old and analog that they are in dire need of update. But getting back to this, it's important that you understand, when we come to holiday scheduling, we want to make sure as a union we understand the pecking order and how we schedule. Because most people think the pecking order for everything we do is casuals, MHAs, then regulars. But that's not the case here, and it's very important that you understand that's not the case. Again, when we're scheduling holiday schedules, casuals, up to 12 hours. And again, it does not say up to 12 hours, but as a union, that's the position I take. And that's the position that I'm going to bargain or negotiate with management from. Then all, so you got casual, part-time flex. Now I have all my full-time volunteers. Then I have my MHAs. Are we good? So again, I just wanted to briefly touch on the holiday schedule, because I know that's not how most managers do it. Most managers do a holiday schedule like they do everything else. They try to go with the casual MHA regulars, but that's not the case here. So in short, it is very possible to see, now again, if no employees are drafted to work their holiday, it is very possible for management to give MHAs holidays off. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if I take my casuals to 12 hours, then I use all my volunteers, I may not need all my MHAs. So now in their order, seniority order, they are allowed not to come in. In regulars, I need you to understand that, because I need you to get out of the mindset that just because an MHA doesn't work a holiday, that they've cut a side deal. Well, most of the times they have, because management lacks the ability to actually understand how to schedule for a holiday. So I'm going to bring this to a close, because I could probably talk on this for at least another 6 hours. But this afternoon's podcast is what I call a phrase I coined from one of my fellow mail handlers in Columbus, Carl Sharp. ATM, another teaching moment. And I want to end this podcast by telling you that when Ken Hodge is your local president, there is going to be a lot of ATMs, because it is so important to me that we all understand and try to interpret our contract in the same manner. There is strength in numbers. Have a great afternoon.